ShasIlluminated.org presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Menachos is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Rabbi Chiel Michel ben Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Karfunkel.
Maseches Menachos, Daf Nunhei. At the very top of the Omud, the Gemara discusses the shitta of Abba Elotah ben Goimel. Abba Elotah Goimel dashin from the Nechshav Lochem Tiru Maschem, that we accrete the Truma Gedoyla to the Trumas Meiser, and we learn out that just like Truma Gedoyla is separated Bo'oimed Uva Machshovo, that's two halachos. One is that Truma Gedoyla is separated Bo'oimed, it doesn't have to be an exact precise measurement, you could assess, you could estimate. So likewise, the Trumas Meiser also, you assess with Trumas Meiser is 1/10 of the Meiser, and according to Abba ben Goimel, based on this drosha, we say that you could estimate it with estimation, the 1/10 of the Meiser, and give it as Trumas Meiser instead of doing a precise measurement. That's Oymed, and Machshova is, we'll talk about it, it's Hashem, the idea of not having to separate it with Dibur. You could be Noisin, Enu Bitsadze, Noisin Bitsad Acher, as Harashi explains, and we'll talk about that in Hashem separately. So likewise, the Shumas Meisr as well, you could separate with Machshova also according to Lozim and Goyme. The Gemara learns out from there that Abba Lozim and Goyme also held that just like Truma Gedoyle is Ba'ayin Yofa, you're supposed to give in a generous manner, so too, after Shumas Meisr, Ba'ayin Yofa, that Shumas Meisr as well is also given in a generous manner. This is halacha that Abba Lozim and Goyme learns out that Shumas Meisr is given the machshava obviously just means that you're allowed to give it machshava, not that you're somehow required to do it dafka with machshava. But what the first thing he says, the Trumas Meiser, and he tells Ba'oimid, is an issue in the Rishonim. In Rashi, it's mavur that a person could give it estimation. Einoi tzorach limdoid ela ba'oimid. If you want, of course, according to Rashi, you could measure it precisely and give exactly a tenth of the Meiser as Trumas Meiser, even according to Abba Elazar ben Goimel. You could, if you want to, but you can give it with an estimation. However, Tosfos in the Maslan tells Bo'imid, brings down from Rabbeinu Tam, that Rabbeinu Tam learned that according to Abba Elazar, there's actually a mitzvah to dafka, give it Bo'imid, with an estimation, rather than measuring it precisely. And the reason for that is in order that the person should give it with a generous eye, ba'ayin yofa. And if the person gives it with an estimation, he's going to be scared, says Tosis, he's yore, shalei lefchoy, so be scared not to give too little. We'll discuss it in Hashem, this idea. And therefore, he gives it dafka with a generous eye. So there's a mitzvah to do it dafka that way, and Tosis brings it right. In Tam and Loshna to Sefta. Later on, in Tosfos, however, he brings a second sad in Tosfos, which actually is like the Rashi that we have here, and that, according to that sad, Abba Elazar ben Goimel holds that it's not dafka a mitzvah to give it with an estimation, but I'll call upon him that it helps, and you could give it with an estimation, but only made if you want. So those are two tzadim in the Tosfos. The Michal Feinstein in the Shurim over here brings in a Hakira, a Shaila in Abba Elazar ben Goimel, which is discussed by other Machabim as well. His Shaila is, what happens according to Abba Elazar ben Goimel if a person gave the Trumas Meiser with an estimation, Ba'omid, and he ended up, upon measuring it later, he discovered that he ended up giving less than 10% of the Meiser as Trumas Meiser. Now, of course, that wasn't the objective, like we saw in Tosis. Tosis says, and like, based on the Gemara, that the objective in giving Ba'omid is in order that you'll give Ba'ayin Yofa, you'll end up giving more than a tenth. And what happens with the Meiser? He ended up giving less than a tenth. Is that Chal? Is that Yoitze? According to Abba Elazar. And Rabbi Michal Feinstein explains that the Yesoy, the fundamental issue behind this question, has to do with understanding the idea, the reasoning of Abba Elazar ben Goimel. In other words, if the Torah says he's supposed to give Trumas Meiser, Maaser min HaMaaser, like the Pasuk in the Chumash, a tenth of the Meiser, so how could it be that the person estimates and he ends up being off? He ends up giving a little more, he ends up giving 11 or 12% instead of the 10. The Meiser, the Torah says you have to give Maaser min HaMaaser. How could it be that it is okay if you end up giving more? What is the pshat in that? So this, Rabbi Michal Feinstein explains that this really, we could have a Hakira and Claire the Shiloh. Is it the pshat, Zokter, that although the Torah says that Trumas Meiser has to have a Shem Meiser, Meiser min HaMeiser, but the Torah, together with that, was also Mechadesh, that the oifen of the Medida, the Tzura of the measurement, is with estimation. That's the din measurement of Meiser min HaMeiser. And Meilu, when the person makes that estimation, it's Chalon that a chalois, that the person estimated that he made a measurement durch estimation of Meiser and HaMeiser, of Trumas Meiser, and therefore it's chalon that a Trumas Meiser, and even when when he ends up being off, afal pikein, that is a chalois of the measurement which is acceptable by the Torah, an estimated measurement of a tenth of the tenth, and therefore it's chalan that it's shem shumas meis. If I learn that way, Zokter, then even though I was supposed to do it by ayin yofa with a generous eye, if I would end up, however, that it ended up being less than 10% of the meis, it would also be effective, because that was the tzuras hamedida. The Torah accepts a measurement through estimation. Or, says Reb Michal Feinstein, I could learn differently. I could learn that although the Torah says meisim and hameiser, what the Torah is really saying is that the meisim and hameiser is the minimum. But if you want, you can give more than a tenth of the meiser. You can give a ninth of the meiser, an eighth of the meiser, and that's also acceptable. If I learn that way, that it's a getter of a minimum, then we would end up saying that if the person ends up giving more than the tenth of the meiser, he gives a ninth or an eighth of the meiser, that's acceptable. And the Torah wanted that fakir, that's ayin yofa, but that's because the meiser was given as a minimum, and you can give more than that if you want. However, if you end up failing to do this and end up giving only an 11th of the meiser as trumas meiser, and end up being hechzer, it ended up being too little. So in such a case, it actually wouldn't even be chal if I learned that the gedder of trumas meiser, according to Abba Elazar, is that it's a minimum of a tenth of the meiser, and here you didn't fulfill the minimum of the tenth. And what is the correct understanding of Abba Elazar? So on that, Rav Michal Feinstein is machria this shiloh of his by looking medayik at kifli at the words of Tosis at the beginning of the dibber that we quoted. That Tosis says that according to Ben Tam, it's a gedder of Abba Elazar is that it's a mitzvah to dafka do it with estimation. And why is it a mitzvah to dafka do it with estimation? Because the person is yorei shelo yefchois. When he estimates, he's afraid, he's scared that he shouldn't end up giving too little. And through that scaredness, he ends up being, he might give too little. He ends up giving with a generous sign, gives extra ba'ayin yofa, which is a desire that we have to give dafka ba'ayin yofa. And mainly that's why it's better, it's a mitzvah to give ba'ayin. For act of Tem Ruchel Feinstein, why is the person yorei that he can give too little? What's the scaredness? What is it to be scared of? Even if he ends up giving too little, he will fulfill the Gidri HaTorah, which is to do the measurement of estimation, the measurement of Oymid, and that fulfills the Dim Shemes Maiser. So what's there to be scared of? Even if it ends up being too little, it's also a fulfillment of Shemes Maiser. For the fact that Taisis says that the person is Yorei, that he shouldn't be Yechzar, he's afraid that he shouldn't give too little, that proves, Zokta, that if the person does give too little, it ends up not being Chal. And therefore, that's why he'll be careful Dafke to give with the generous sign, which shows us that the correct side of our Hakira is that the gather of Shemes Maiser, according to Abba Elazar, is to give a minimum of a tenth, but if you give more than a minimum of a tenth, it's also okay. Less than a minimum of a tenth, not okay, as not chaladin shumas maiser. It brought in the name of Reberel Zechon of Rocha, the Reshiv in Brisk, that he actually cleared exactly the same Hakira, and he came out with the opposite conclusion. In other words, he ended up saying, if the person ends up being hechsir, that he gives, he estimated and he tried to make the estimation of a tenth of a tenth, the tenth of the maiser, and ended up giving less than a tenth of the maiser, and ended up being 11th or a 12th of the maiser, it also is chal, because the geder of Trumas Maiser, according to Abba Elazar, said Rebbeil Zechon Avrocha, is that the person estimates and he does a measurement of estimation on the Trumas Maiser, a tenth of the tenth, and as long as he did that through of the measurement, it's chal, even if it's hechsir. What's the raya to that? So on there, Rebbeil brought a raya from the Loshon of Tosis also, a little bit later down in the Tosis over here. The Tosis a little bit further in the Hemshech of Tosis over here brings down a sugya in Masechta Gittin, that is mavur in Masechta Gittin, that if Yisrael tells a Levi that he says, my deceased father, his father had deceased, and he says, my father had told me, Zokter, that there's some miser coming to you from this grain in my storehouse. The father is now deceased. So we assume that the father has not separated out the Trumas Meiser from this grain, and therefore, when the Levi gets this Meiser, he's going to have to separate out the Trumas Meiser himself. And the Gemara is Mavur over there, that we're going like Abba Elazar ben Goimel. Afal Pikein, even though we're going like Abba Elazar ben Goimel, the Gemara is Mavur over there, that we assume that the father has not separated out the Trumas Meiser in a case of Loikayat Lei, in a case where the father had not precisely measured out the quantity of the tefuah, so since he hasn't precisely measured out the quantity, we assume he did not separate the trumas meiser. Frekt of them the toisus, why? Why don't you say that according to Abba Elazar ben Goimel, even if the father had not precisely measured it out, he still has the ability, according to Abba Elazar, to separate it out with an estimation. So maybe the father separated with an estimation. Why not assume he did that? Why do we assume that since it wasn't kayetz, it wasn't measured, the father did not separate it out? I were going like Abba Elazar. If them zok the toisus is some cryptic thing. The toisus says that he love urche the balabai this, lasois me oimid tumas mais. And as I say, that even though the mais you could do the separation with an estimation of the tumas mais according to Abba Elazar, Avo became it's not the derech of a balabayas to do so. Why? Mipnei tarumas koyen velevi. Because it's going to be, have a tarumas. He's afraid that the koyen is going to have complaints about him. Im yita oimid shaloi, if he ends up being off in his estimation, which pashtus, what does Tosafot mean with that? Says Rebbeil. What Tosafot seems to mean is, maybe he'll separate with an estimation, he'll end up giving too little, and then the kohen is going to have a complaint to him, a complaint, what did you give me so little for? So even though he's able to estimate, he doesn't, because he's afraid that he'll end up separating pashtus too little, which means, in other words, separating less than a tenth of the tenth, less than a tenth of the meiser, and then the kohen will have tarumas. It's zocht of dem Rebbeil, what's the tarumas? What's the complaint the kohen will have? If he ends up separating less than a tenth, it's not even chal anyhow, if you go like that sad of the chakirim. So what's the complaint? You separate less than a tenth, it's not chal, you have to separate it again. Kohen never ends up with less than a tenth. What is the problem that the Balabayas is nervous about, that the Kohen will complain about, if anyhow, even if he does separate less than a tenth, it's not chal? So from there, Rebbeil was mechiach, he proved that Tosis is saying that if you end up being hechzir, if you end up separating with an estimation, and you end up that you gave less than a tenth of the maaser, it's trumas maaser, it is chal, and after the fact it will be chal, even though you're supposed to do ba'ayin yofa. So that, in other words, he ends up being poisha like the other tzad of the hakira against what we saw of Michael Feinstein says, and according to him, the gedder of the gedder hatayra, according to Abba Elazar of trumas maaser, is to separate, to do a measurement of an estimation oifen of a measurement, and mele, therefore, even if the person ends up being off and ends up being too little, Afal PK will still say that it's chal. Now, Rabbi Michael Feinstein actually performs this question, and he is aware of this line of the Tosis. He says, Al Pidar Koi, that he learns, in other words, that if you end up being less than a tenth of the Maisa, it's not even chal at all. So how are you going to explain this thing that the Kohen has tarumas, the Kohen has complaints, if when you separate Ba'omid and you give only a little? So he says, you must learn Pshat and the Tosis like this, that it's actually a psychology. Avada Zokta, if you separate less than a tenth of the Maisa, it's not even chal. So the Kohen knows he's guaranteed to get exactly at least a tenth of the Meister at the very least. Afal Pi Kein, if I do a precise measurement, the Kohen doesn't have complaints, doesn't have tightness, he knows he got exactly a tenth of the Meister. But the moment I do it with a guess and with an estimation, the Kohen automatically has complaints because he says, why aren't you're more generous? Already it wasn't a precise measurement, so be more generous with me. And that's how Michael Feinstein gets around the problem. The Kohen knows he's getting at least a tenth of the Meister, but Afal Pi Kein, you're doing it with an estimation, so be more generous. You should have been more generous than you were. And that's the pshat and the Tosis is about the Tarumas of the Kohen, it does not mean that you may end up giving less than a tenth and it will still be chal. That's how Rabbi Michael Feinstein learns up and he gets around this raya from the Tosis. There is a shtickle on this question from the Gvuris Yitzchok, from Rabbi Yitzchok Sirotskin, and he actually also comes out like Rabbi Michael Feinstein's understanding that if the person separates the Trumas Meiser according to Abba Shaul with an estimation and ends up giving less than a tenth of the Meiser, that's not chal. However, he has a different understanding of why it's not chal. And to understand the Gvuris Yitzchok Mahalach, we need to begin with the diuk that he makes in the Lashon of the Rash in Masechta Trumas in Perek Aleph. The Rash over there in Masechta Trumas, like Tosfos over here, and now what Tosfos must only tell us, both of them consider the following question. The Shaila is, we know that according to Abba Elazar, a person could be Nitelas Bo'oimid, he can make an estimated measurement, and it could end up giving more than a tenth when he asks, because he estimated and it's Chal. That's true, says Tosfos and the Rash, but what happens if the person purposely gave more than a tenth? It wasn't just a accident because he made an estimated measurement, so it ended up being more than a tenth, but we're trying for a tenth. Maybe what the person gave a purposefully more than a tenth, b'miskaven, marba b'miskaven. What's the end of marba b'miskaven? So the Rash over there in Masechta Trumos, in this Hava Amina, says that if you marba b'miskaven, that it's not chal, even according to Abba Elazar. Because Teinach, if the person makes an estimated measurement and he was trying, so he's trying to give a tenth, so the Torah is machadish that if he gives more than a tenth of the estimated measurement, that's chal. But the person says marba b'miskaven purposefully gave more than a tenth, that's not even a measurement of a tenth at all, and therefore that wouldn't be chal, even according to Abba Elazar. However, the Rash comes out not like that, and he brings the same raya that Toichet by us brings also, which is in Lashon Gemara by us, and from the Sugya Gemara by us in Masechta Menachos. The Gemara comes out over here, like we said before, that according to Abba Elazar, the person is able to give more than a tenth, and based on this idea of Ayin Yofef, giving in a generous manner, and the Gemara by us uses the Shita of Abba Elazar to answer a stira in the Braisa that the Gemara is discussing here. The Braisa says that when a person is Toirim Te'enim Al HaGroigroi, which means large, fresh figs, to be patted up the dry figs, then you turn b'minyan. That's a way that ends up giving more truma. If the person would have been tayrem in oifen of volume, then he would have given less amount of ta'anim relative to the gregris, because ta'anim are big. That he's supposed to give b'minyan, and that way, numbers of ta'anim relative to the gregris, he ended up giving more ta'anim that way. On the other hand, if you're giving gregris ala ta'anim, small dry figs for truma, to patter up the large fresh figs, then you're supposed to give b'mida. And that's as well an ayin yof, a generous oifen of measuring, because if you would have measured the gregris with a minyan, with a count, you would end up giving a smaller number of gregris, a smaller amount of gregris, since the gregris are small, and there's a large number of them, they're just small. So therefore, if you would have done the gregris ala ta'enim in the oifen of counting, you would give a small number of gregris. And mele, therefore, you're supposed to give gregris ala ta'enim b'mida in the measurement of volume. That way, either of these two oifanim are giving truma, they both ended up being a generous eye form of truma. Now, it's talking about truma's meiser, a generous eye form of truma's meiser, and the Gemara says we must learn that we're talking about Abba Olozom and Goymel Shita, because they don't go with Abba Olozom and Goymel, go with the Rabbanon of Abba Olozom and Goymel. It has to be exactly precise, and we're going in this Gemara that precise means that you have to go by the present volume. You don't have the latitude to go with Mida or Minyan, depending on which is greater. You have to go with the present volume exactly. Since this Braisa differentiates between Gregus Halatainim and Tainim Gregus, depending on which is more generous eye, that shows we're going like Abba Elozim and Goyim, and that's the Maskana of the Gemara. If them Zakta Toysis and the Rash in his Maskana, that's Mukhach from there, that Abba Elozim and Goyim will hold, he could even be Marv of a Meskaven, he could even give purposefully greater than the amount of a tenth, because the guy knows 100% purposefully over here that he is giving more than the amount of a tenth. He knows that. He's giving Tainim ala Gregris, he's purposefully giving a Beminion, even though the alternative measurement, the ordinary measurement would have been Bemida, and would have ended up with less Tainim, and now he's giving with a count, with minyan, numer-wise, and he ends up giving more to Einim. So he's marv miskavin, and it's still chal, and that shows the Avalosav and Goyim holds he can marv miskavin. The Rash adds a few words on this, very briefly, to explain this concept of marv miskavin that works according to the Avalosav, and the Rash's Lashon is that the chol ma sheyirta laharmois nechshav ayin yofe. That's his lashon of the Rashi and Shmuel. Whatever you want to yamar b'laharmois, whatever you want to give extra, a purposefully generous amount, purposefully greater amount than the ikra din of a tenth would be mechayev. That's called ayin yofe, and that's called the generous eye. And this the Gvuras Yitzchok Tainis is that if we think carefully about this chakira, imagine for a moment that we're going to suggest, doctor, like actually we said, and Michael Feinstein does say, which is that the gather of the tenth of the tenth, according to Abalosim and Goymel, is that it's a minimum tenth of the Meiser, but you can really give purposefully more. You can give, let's say, a quarter of the Meiser, a third of the Meiser, a half of the Meiser. You can give as much as you want. Tenth is only a minimum. Zokt of them, the Gvuras Yitzchok, that's never going to work, because the Lashon of the Rash is Mashma, Chol Ma Sheyirtza Laharbois Nechshav Ayin Yofe. That says that there's really a gather of measuring a tenth. You have to measure a tenth of a tenth. Abalosim is going that there's a din of Meiser and a Meiser. It doesn't mean Meiser and a Meiser is, if you want, it could be just a Meiser and a Meiser, but if you want, it could be Revia and a Meiser, or Chatzim and a Meiser. No, there's a gather of Meiser and a Meiser. There's a doing it in a generous eye, and that's what you're supposed to do according to Abba Lozer. You b'cheshben the Meiser and a Meiser, but do it in a generous eye. The Gemara is not saying, and the Rashi is not saying, that if you want, you can give a half or a third of the Meiser, a Trumas Meiser. We're saying you're giving a tenth of the Meiser, there's a din of a tenth, but there's a special way of giving a tenth, which is a way of giving it with a generous eye, and an ayin yofa. So therefore, it's mashma against what we said is Michael Feinstein's idea that a tenth is just a minimum. No, there's a din to give a tenth of the Meiser, but Afa Pikein, there's a special way of giving it with this, with a generous eye. Zokt of them, the Gvuras Yitzchok, that he feels that we really also cannot learn like the other tzad that we said in the name of the Beryl Zechon Vrocha, which is to say that the Torah was mechadish to estimate, and that the estimated measurement of a tenth, whatever ends up being lefiho emes, is called an estimated, it's called a measurement of a tenth because you estimated. That's the way that we said before for a Beryl, but the truth he says that's fair as well, because Teinach, if according to Abba Law, said it was a chiv to do it after by trying to estimate, and if you ended up accidentally getting a little bit off, more or less, then it ends up a koponim, you made the estimation, you're trying to estimation of a tenth, that would be accessible. But since we're saying the Tosis and the Rash both come out of it here, that you could actually give peskavim, purposely marbe, marbe meskavim, purposely marbe, so where is the person making the attempted estimated guess, the estimated tenth of a tenth? What estimated tenth of a tenth? He's purposely marbe meskavim. How could that work out if I learned that the gidre of the Dini HaTorah is a tenth? Just you have to estimate, and that's the gedra of the measurement, which is acceptable, even if you end up being off. The imamos are talking the imarva purposefully and afa pi, it's good. What's the correct hesber in this din? So the Yitzchak Nemzon, he says that according to the way we're being redacted from the Lashon HaRash, the Torah is mechadish, really there is a din of a ma'isim and a ma'isim. But there's a special way of giving a tenth in the oifen of a generous eye. A tenth of a tenth of a generous, in a generous eye manner, ba'ayin yofel, like the Lashon HaRash, that imarva, like the Lashon we said, kol mashayir to laharboi is nechshav ayin yofel. It means that as long as there's some way of considering this to be a tenth of a tenth in any oifen of measurement, we consider this to be an acceptable ma'isa and a ma'iser. And therefore, the ha'inu, he says, in our sugya, for example, ta'inim ala groigro, I'm going to measure with the oifen of counting, so I end up, that cheshbon of tenth of a tenth of counting ends up being extra when it's fresh figs of truma onto groigro. What happens if the groigro ala truma is dried figs onto the ta'inim? So then I do it the oifen of volume, because that gives the special greatest amount of truma. So now the word is, I'm able to cheshbon the tenth of a tenth in multiple oifanim as long as there's some way of considering that a tenth of a tenth. I could never do that. The Torah accepts one method of measurement, doesn't accept multiple methods, and whatever they come out, they come out. But over here, since the whole geder of the Tumas Meiser, according to Abolozim and Goimel, is to do the measurement in an oifen of Ayin Yofa, so if the Torah allows more than one oifen of measurement, whatever the tzura of measurement of the Ayin Yofa Dika measurement is the accepted one, because the aside is to measure a mice and a mice in the oifen that ends up being Ayin Yofa. If you learn that way, Zokti Gvuras Yitzchak, he says you can understand why Marpa Meskavim works, because it's actually the Torah allows for multiple oifanim of measurement, either mido or minion, volume or counting, whatever it is, any oifan that leads to the generous eye, because the aside is ayin yofa, like the Rash says. And we also could understand, he says, that if you're going to end up, that you tried to cheshbon and ended up being less than a tenth, so therefore, Zokta, that's the aside lacking in the ayin yofa tzura of the measurement, it's the aside lacking in the generous eye, because it ends up being less than a tenth of the meiser, and since it's lacking in the ayin yofa, you're lacking your aside that underlies the measurement of meiser and meiser, according to Abba Elazar, and therefore would end up not being chal. That's how the Gvuras Yitzchak learned the pshat. I mentioned before that in addition to the din of oimid, there's also a din of machshava that we discussed on top of the oimid over here. A truma gedoyla could be given by machshava, and according to Abba Elazar, we equate a trumas meiser to that as well, and we allow trumas meiser as well also to be given by machshava. Now, what does machshava mean? So Rashi over here learns that machshava means a couple of points. It places b'dayek from Rashi. Number one is that you don't have to make a dibur, you don't have to verbally make the hafrosha of truma or according to Abba Elazar the trumas meiser. You could just do it with machshava, with thought. And the second akud is, you don't have to make a maisa hafrosha, an act for actional act of the separating, physically separating one, the truma from the rest of the product, but rather you can be nice and ein b'tzad zev v'oichu mitzad acher. So you don't have to have either of these. You have to have to, neither the physical act of the separating the truma from the product, or also the dibber. Both of these are unnecessary. That's according to Rashi here. Tosis points out that Rashi in Bechoyrus brings in another mahalach in which, although it's not necessary to physically separate the truma from the rest of the product, but afal pi kein, it is necessary to make a dibur. You have to verbally speak it out. And according to that pshat, the word machshava in this gemara simply means, as opposed to doing a machshava ma'isa biyadayim, an act of physically separating, but machshava would mean dibur, and the person would have to verbally speak it out. Taisus prefers Rashi pshat over here, like he explains, we'll talk a little later, that he prefers Rashi's mahalach, that you don't even have to make any verbal separation, it's sufficient to have machshava. There are a couple of nekudos here in this sugya. The Turi Evin Chagiga writes that even though it's acceptable to separate truma b'machshava, and according to Abba Elazar, trumas meiser as well, but he says that what happens if the person, instead of thinking lehedya to himself that I am hereby separating this truma with my thought, instead of thinking that, which surely works, if you go with machshava means thought, it surely works, but what happens if he is machlet b'daitoy to make a dibur? Says he decides, I'm absolutely making the decision that that pile of in the corner over there is going to be truma, and I'll speak it out in a moment, I'll make that dibur in just a moment. So he's machlut b'dayto, he makes a clear decision in his thoughts to separate it with dibur. In such a case, says the Gvuras Ari, it says the Turi Evin, it's clear to him, Zokter, that it would be not chal yet, because since the whole thought was not that you're separating with your thought right now, but you made an absolute decision to separate with dibur in a moment, then you have to wait to the dibur in order to, for the hafrosha to be chal al yidei the dibur. That is the Turi Evin's yisoid, and he actually brings a raya to this from a Mishnah in Masechta Trumas. The Mishnah in Trumas says, what if a person is miskaven, this entity should be truma, and instead he mistakenly, accidentally calls it Meiser. He wants to say Truma, and he calls it Meiser. So the halacha is that it's not Chal, because you don't have Pivotly with Shavin. That's a sig over there, Mesechta Trumois. Your mouth and your thoughts are not on the same page. It's not Pivotly with Shavin, and therefore it's not Chal. It's Zokt of them, the Turiyev, why isn't it Chal? He says, Tainach, if for some reason I require a Dibur Mamish over here, I have to speak. So you could say that his speech, that he said it's Meiser, is undermined by his thought that he meant to make it into Truma. So the speech is a weak kind of a speech, because it's undermined by what he was thinking, which contradicted it, and the mail of the speech is insufficient. That I understand. But if I'm going to learn that Machshava alone suffices, so forget the speech. The person was very clear about his Machshava. He was absolutely clear about what he was thinking. He was thinking he wanted to make a Truma. So why don't you forget the speech that he made entirely, which was based on a mistake anyway? He never meant to say that it's Meiser. That was a mistake. So forget the whole speech. It was a mistake in any event. And therefore go with the thoughts that he was thinking and say that it's Chal because of the thought that he had to make it into Truma. And we know the Truma is Chal, they thought. And that's a riot to Mayasoid, which is that in a case like this one, it won't be Chal Yadei has thought. Because since he was intending purposefully to make it be Chal Yadei the Dibur, he was coming to say a Dibur and it should be Chal Yadei the Dibur. So therefore, even though he was thinking that it should be Truma, the thoughts are not powerful in that case, because his thoughts were to make it a Chalois Truma Yadei the Dibur. That's why over there, it's only Chal Yadei the Dibur. And since that Dibur was a weak Dibur, because it was undermined by the contradictory thoughts, so therefore it's not Chal. That's a Turiyevin. On this, the Dvar Avram in the Miluim in Chelek Aleph brings down, he actually quotes the Afika Yam, that brings down the Minske Godel, that the Minske Godel, that's the author of the Ur Godel, the Minske Godel said that he this totally disagrees with this Gvuras Turiyevin, and he thinks that even in a case where the person was Kaveh Abedaitoi, that he made a decision that he wants to be Mafish Al Yedei a Dibur, Afal Pikein, the decision alone suffices, and even if he doesn't get around to making the Dibur, since he was clear that he was going to make that Afrosha, he was clear in his thoughts, that's a Berichal. And he brings a strong riot to this from the Lashon of Rashi, Gedushin Daf Memalef, that the Gemara said, Rashi is talking about Kochim over there, but a Koponim, the Gemara over there is speaking that Kochim is no Machshava, you could separate Kochim with thoughts as well. And Rashi says the case is, Goma Beliboy, Loimar, Shur Ze Oila, Harehu Oila. And Rashi actually, Mamash speaks out that the person was Machlet Bedaito, he made an absolute decision in his heart that he's going to say Shur Ze Oila, and apparently the ox is already in Oila, even though he hasn't said anything yet, because he made the firm decision in the heart to say Shur Ze Oila. That's by Kochim, but the Minchas Godel says that Tuma and Kochim are both the same in this regard. They both are Chal Yedei Machshava. And you see clearly in Rashi that even though the person was intending to speak it out, it still is Chal already now that he made the Machshava now to separate with his Machshava. Ah, what do you do with the Mishnah in Trumas that says that if the person is thinking that he wants to say Hareza Truma and he ends up saying Hareza Maiser, it's not Chal? So we ask, why can't it be Chal Yedei Dibur? Forget Maiser, Machshava. Forget the Dibur altogether. It's true that the Dibur was mistaken, and the Dibur was that he said Maiser, and it contradicted his thoughts. That's true. But what's the problem? The Dibur was mistaken anyway. It was undermined by the fact that it was a mistake. And just go with the Machshava alone. Why isn't the Machshava make a Chal that it should be Chal Truma Yedei Machshava? That was the Minsk Godel's Raya. Then a case like this, the Machshava is insufficient. The Zokt of them, the Turiyevin, the Minsk Godel, that he says it's not no Shum Raya from there. Why? Because of it there, the Maiser, the person didn't just maspik with his thoughts. He actually was thinking one way, and he spoke out the other way, so there was a clear contradiction between his speech and his thoughts. His dibber was meiser, and his thoughts were truma. And in a case like that one, we're not going to be able to say that the machshava alone suffices to make the truma bichal, since l'maisi ahedi contradicted it with the dibber. Now, Kopana, the Minsk Godel argues on the Turiyevin, and Minsk Godel holds that the Bachlota Bedas, to say that this thing is going to be Truma, it makes it Bichal already now, even if the person doesn't get around to later on actually following through with that Dibur. The Dvar of Rum writes that originally Be'etzim, he says, he was very, very hesitant to accept this Chiddush of the Minsk Godel, because he felt that there's a clear Tesefta in Masechta Trumas that actually says to the Turiyevin. The Tesefta speaks over there about a person who's planning on being Mafresh Truma, and it says over there he wants a Mafresh Truma from a certain component of his grain, im osid likrois lahem shame, he's in the future destined Osed list destined in the future likros lahem shem ein b'hem kedusha ad sheyikra lahem shem. They don't have a kedusha unless he actually makes the kriyas Hashem. So the Avram says that so look to him like that's a very very clear raya against the mitzvah gadol, and like the turi even it's before over there that even though you're clear about what you want to do afal pikein since you're planning on speaking it with a dibur osed likros lahem shem that therefore it's not chal until the actual kriyas Hashem, until the actual dibur. So it seems to be a raya mefureshes to the turi Evan. However, after an arichos on this, the Avram comes out that the Turi Evans, the mitzvah gadol raya is a very stark, a strong raya from Rashi, Masechta Kedushin, and Rashi is actually mavur that the hachlota b'dayta, the certainty of one's mindset that he's going to be making this kriya Hashem is enough to make a chal already now. Either the sefta, you have to learn, Zok, that he's talking about a case where the person is actively speaking out with thoughts, that he's very, very clear in his thoughts that I don't want this trumah to be chal until I make the actual dibur. It's a bit of a doichek, but that's the maskana of the Avram, is to support the Minsk Gadol. He says, if the person just has a absolute certainty in his thoughts that he's going to be kriyas Hashem trumas ma'aseh, it's really chal by default already now as trumah, because the person, the trumah is chal b'machshava, and therefore he has a machshava already now. Masha'in came in a case where he's purposefully thinking, I want this delays for another 5 minutes until I get around to being actively kriyas Hashem with a dibur, that's where we're going to say that that is sufficient to push off the Chaloy Shem, and that's where the Tesefta is talking about. I just want to mention that, if you think about it, what it appears to be is that there's an actual underlying fundamental question that underlies this Shiloh, this Machloikas Achroinim. Does the person, when he's thinking, and when his Shuma is being Chalai De Machshava, does he have to intend with his thoughts to make a Maisa Hafrosha with his Machshava? Does he have to intend to make a so-called act of Hafrosha's Shuma with his thoughts? If I hold that like the Turi Evans shot, that's exactly what he's saying. If the person's thinking, I want to actively make this into a tshuma with my thoughts, then it's going to be chal. But if he's just thinking, I'm certain that I want to mafresh this with a dibber in a moment, then it won't be chal till the dibber, because you have to actively be coming to make a maisa afrosh with your machshava. However, according to the Minsk Gadol, and according to the Dvar Avram, it comes that the person doesn't have to be actively coming to make a maisa afrosh. Even if he has no plans of making a maisa afrosh, he's not thinking about making a maisa afrosh. He's just being certainty. He made a certain decision that in a moment, in a couple of moments, in a few minutes, he'll make a hafrosha b'yadayim. So right now he's not coming yet with his thoughts to make the ma'isa hafrosha. Alpha became the certainty of the mindset that he has is sufficient, that the tshuma is yibichal, which is actually a very, very big chiddush and lomdus, if you think about it, that the tshuma is chal without the person coming to want to make a ma'isa hafrosha on the tshuma. In the Tshuvah of Kiva Eger, Madura Kama, in Simon Chof Tes and Lamed, has a very remarkable Chalufa Mechtovim, an exchange of letters between his uncle, Reb Wolf Eger, and himself, which took place at the time of Reb Kiva Eger's Chasana. This is a very remarkable and well-known Chalufa Mechtovim over there. The Simon Chof Tes in the Tshuvah of Kiva Eger is the letter that Reb Wolf Eger sent to him, in which he speaks of this big Sa'uda that he had made in Reb Kiva Eger's hometown, where Reb Kiva Eger had originally been, and he says Reb Wolf Eger was one of the Chashuvei Ho'ir, and he said we had the Big Tamid Chum of the Shtot, and we had the Goyner B'Shai Pik came, and we discussed in learning, and they all had this so-called, what people call today, Rebbe Kiva Eger Suda. They were celebrating his weddings from the Vaitans, from afar, and we discussed Torah over there, and he writes down in the letter there, in Simon Chof Tes, the Tifa Yesoidois Tikka conversation they had in Torah between the Gedoyler Tamid Chum that showed up at the Sa'uda. Rebbe Kiva Eger writes back to this in the response, a letter to his uncle Wolf Eger, in the next Simon in the Bekiveger, it's Simon Lamed. And over there, Bekiveger opens, and it's in a really an amazing letter. Bekiveger opens by writing over there that I really don't have any time at all because we just had the wedding and we're still, it appears that we're in the middle of the Shever Brochus. He writes, I'm still, it's a whole day long. People are coming, all the Nechbadi Ho'ir are coming, and they're all wishing me a Mazel Tov, and I really don't have Kamat any time to take. But I stole, he says, some time for myself to respond to your letter. And Bekiveger responds with a Gewaldige Tiefe letter. The Welt says that in this letter, Bekiveger was 15 at the time when he got married. And he wrote this incredible response to his uncle Wolf Eger, Mamish Bo'ime Ko'in, and the different sugyas that Wolf Eger had spoken of. Rebbe Eger responds, and he disagrees on various issues with the positions of Gedolei Talmidei Chachamim and Rebbe Shaya Pik that had been discussed in the previous letter from Wolf Eger. So the near Wolf Eger and Simon Chof Tes brings down the Groys of Goyin, Rebbe Shaya Pik, that Rebbe Shaya Pik asked the following kasha. The Beis Yosef says in Hilchos Chametz and Siman Tov Lamed Beis
in Erechaim. The Beis Yosef writes that if a person is mevatel chometz, bakes a bittel chometz, the halacha is that you don't make any bracha. You know, there's no bracha on that. If a person making a bedika and a beer, then you make a bracha on that. But on bittel chometz alone, the person doesn't make any bracha. Why is that? So the Beis Yosef says that the reason is because it's yeshne belev. That he always said a person is able to mevatel chometz belev. He can mevatel chometz with his heart, with his thoughts, without even necessarily speaking anything else. So there's no bracha, even though it's a mitzvah, there's no bracha on a mitzvah which is yeshne belev, which could be done in a person's heart. In other words, what we would say today would be that a bracha is only made in a ma'isa mitzvah, and it has only a mitzvah that has to be done dafka yedei a ma'isa, and since bittel chometz could be done machshava, so therefore there's no bracha on, no bracha the mitzvahs on that. As a friend of them, the Rabbi Shaya picked that he said that it's a shver yisoid of the Beis Yosef, because he tainted there's a kasha on that from our Gemara. Since the Gemara says by us that shumez nitals machshava, and we said from Rashi, you don't have to speak it out, and you also don't have to do any ma'isa. You can just be noisin in a mitzad zeh and eat mitzad acher. It doesn't need a speech, it doesn't need an activity, and chume is mamash yes to machshava, just machshava alone. So Frekti Vishaya picks, so why is it that it's klar in the Mishnayos that a person makes a birchas ha-mitzvahis and he makes a frosh at shumah? Why? According to Beis Yosef, which they say that it's yeshne belev, and therefore that a person should not make any bracha on the if it's really true that you don't make a bracha on a mitzvah yesh nebelev. This is the big kasha of Rabbi Shaya Pick. So Wolf Eger over there writes that I answered Rabbi Shaya Pick Zokter by stelling to the Toysis in Chulan Davov. The Toysis is Machadash in Chulan Davov, that even though Me'ikr Shuras Hadin, it's true that you really could separate a chumah without a ma'aseh at all, just by noisin any mitzad zev o'ichu mitzad acher. The Toysis Machadash over there, that it's a din d'rabbonon, that the rabbis did not allow this except in a case of Dmai. A case of Dmai, where anyhow a person brought unknown tvua from Amoritz, and really up here, the presumption would have been that the Amoritz did take off Meiser, Chumas and Meiser, take off Meiser in any event. So there, where Sai V, the person has assumption that probably was taken off, so Chosh Chazal was sacking, they have to take off the Chumas, the Hafroshes, but after became there, we allowed to be noisy mitzad zeh. Oich mitzad acher, you could just do it without any Meiser Hafrosh. Masha Enke, Metevel Gomur, so Chazal was sacking that the person has to make a Meiser Gomur, and therefore, consequently, Zokt of them, the Revolf Eger, works out very well. By Chumma Gemur, since Chazal was sacking, you have to do Dafka a Meiser, they don't allow the noisim b'tzad zeh, oichim b'tzad acher, just to do it with thoughts, by looking at the tevel that you're planning on separating and tapatering and looking at the tshumah. So the tevel gomor needs a ma'isa, so therefore chazal matzach and a birchaz mitzvah when you mafresh the tshumah. Ma'ashe ein kein d'mai, which d'mai it is sufficient for the person to be mafresh with mamish with the machshava alone, even halacha the ma'isa, even the rabbanon, with the rabbanon we allow you this. So in a chanami zot, we know that the Gemara tells us that a person doesn't make a birchaz mitzvah when he's mafresh d'mai, and therefore works out very well. Dmai is this machshava, and attack is no birchas mitzvah mafresh dmai in any event. So therefore, consequently, akapanim by the tevel gomor, the afrosh truma gemura, where you need a ma'isa, but the rabbanon akapanim, so you make a birchas mitzvah. That's from Wolf Eger. Rabbi Akiva Eger writes back to his uncle Wolf Eger. He says, "Lo hoyel klum." The Yeteris did not suffice to answer anything. So then, because he quotes a Toisus in Masechta Bava Metzia, a Toisus says that if it is Erev Shabbos and there's really no time to get involved in doing a pula biyadayim, an active activity, so there Chazal amata to be tayrim even shaloyim and a muktif and even machshava biyalma. That says that a person can do it even the truma is not even nearby to the tevel that you're sitting mafresh and even machshava without an active physical act. All those kulas Chazal make. It's Friday and the person doesn't have an opportunity to get physically involved. So therefore, Zatu Kiva Eger, we know that if a person makes his afrosh on Fridays where he could have done it with a machshava mamish, even by Tevel Gomer, he could have done it with a true machshava, avada he makes a birchas, a mitzvah on the afrosh shumma. You don't find anywhere the chazal machalik that on Fridays he'll make a birchas mitzvah, that's clear. So he says, therefore, your teretz is not at all effective, and Rishaya Pick is fundamentally correct that we find even cases where the person makes a shumma, a afrosh shumma, which is effective and could be done with a machshava mamish, like an Erev Shabbos, chazal even the Fiyah Emes, and Afapi can you make a Birchas mitzvah on the Hafrosas Shumma. So Beki Vega says, in my opinion, the correct answer to the question of Rabbi Shaya Pick is to say that since the Hafrosas Shumma is really a prelude, it's a first step to the physical act of Nesinas Shumma L'Koyin, because you always have two steps by Hafrosas Shumma. You separate the Shumma, and then you make a Nesinas Shumma L'Koyin, you have to give it to the Koyin. And since the Nesinas Shumma L'Koyin is obviously a Maisa Gomor, it's a clear physical act of giving it to the Koyin, so therefore the first step, which is a prelude to the second step, the first step of the Hafrosha, so even if it is Isna Machshava, but Chashivas like a Maisa because of the fact that it's a prelude to the second step, which will be a true Maisa Gomor of giving the Truma to the Kohen. So Meila, so that it is a Chashivas like a Maisa, and that's why you make a Bracha Mitzvah of Frosh Truma. The Kaveir is that he actually believes that from this Teretz of his Mikrech, this Teretz is giving a Raya against the Shitas HaTur in Yeridei Shem Lamed Aleph, that the Tur held in Yeridei Shem Lamed Aleph, that since by, like we mentioned before, that by Dmai we say Roiv Ami Ha'oretz Ma'asim Heim, therefore, according to the Torah, since there is a roiv that probably the Amoritz who sold you the grain by the Dmai did take off the Maisroiv properly, Chazal will Masak, will Choshish for the minority likelihood that perhaps he didn't take it off and then was Sak, and that the person has to make the Hafrosh of a Maisroiv and a Trumas Maisroiv, separate Trumas Maisroiv out of the Dmai. The Torah is Machadish, even though you have to separate the Trumas Maisroiv and make a Hafrosh, there's no Chi of Nesina Lekoyen to give it to the Koyen, rather you could sell it to the Koyen. Because a Yois that the Koyen probably is not entitled to it, because Alpiroiv the Amoritz probably did separate the proper tithes, the proper Trumas and Maisers. So therefore, person that Mechuyev to give it to the Kohen, he could sell. Other poets can argue and they hold that once Chazal Masakein on Demai, they have to separate the Trumas Maiser, you have to also give it to the Kohen, even though Alpiroiv, it's likely it already was tied by the Amoritz. Rekhi Vegas says, in my opinion, you can bring a Raya against the Torah Shita. Why? Because Rekhi Vegas says, I believe that it's Mashma in the Sugya in Masechta Shabbos that even on Demai, Chazal would Mechayev and Birchas and Mitzvahis Mamish of being Mafresh Shumas and Maisers. The only thing is that the Gemara has a special svora over there in Masech the Shabbos that Roiv HaMoretz HaMa'asim Heim, that a Yois that probably, the Maya is a very weak Chiv, even on the bottom level, because it's a Chiv to be Choyshesh for the possibility that the Moritz didn't take off the Maisers properly. That the Maisers, the Moritz likely did take off the Maisers properly, because Api Roiv, the Moritz takes off the Maisers. So therefore, that's a weak Chiv, even on the bottom level, and therefore, the Gemara says over there that they weren't Masak and the Birchas and Mitzvah on Demai. Zotav, then Rebbe Kiva Eger, it's Pashas Mashman the Gemara, that if not for the fact that Chazal are not Masak and a Brocha, a Birchas and Mitzvah, on a weak Chi of the Rabbonon, which is against the Roiv likelihood, if not for that fact, you would have made a Birchas and Mitzvah even on Demai. That's the Mashmoy Sa Gemara. Why is Zotav Rebbe Eger? According to the Torah, the Hafrosho that you're making on the Demai, which really could be done Machshava and consequently is weak in and of itself, so you're going to say, well, okay, but it's a prelude to the second step, like I'm saying, the prekasa which is in the Sina Lekoyen. But according to the Torah, there's actually no chiyuv in the Sina Lekoyen on the Trumas Maisa that you separate from Tamai, because you could rely on the fact that it was probably given already, and you don't have to be in the Sina. So the frosh of Trumas Maisa that you make on Trumas Maisa on Tamai is not a prelude to a Maisa in the Sina Lekoyen. So let the Gemara just say, poshut, that the reason why you don't make a Berchas Mitzvah on Tamai is because of the fact that Tamai is Isnu Machshava, it could be done weak in a way of Machshava of thoughts, and there's no Maisa associated with it, because even on the second step, I don't have to give it to the Kohen. The fact that the Gemara does not say that, Mahalach, that there's no Berchas HaMitzvah on the Frosh HaShemai, because of the fact that it's Isna Machshava, the Gemara doesn't say it. It has to come with a new Svara that the whole Chiyuv is weak. And you're not Masakan HaBerchas HaMitzvah on a weak Chiyuv, because likely you're not really Chayev anyway, because the Gemara probably took care of it. So since the Gemara needs a new Chiddush, Vegas says, in my opinion, you see, that even when you separate Trumas Maisa from Tamai, it is a prelude to the second step of Nesina LeKohen, and we arrive from there to the Cholkom on the Torah, arrive from there, in other words, that when a person separates Trumas Maisa from Tamai, he has to go ahead and subsequently give it to the Kohen, and that's why the Trumas Maisa of Tamai has the same quality as regular Trumas Maisa. It's got the two steps, it's got the first step, which is that the person separates it, it's got the second step that the person has to subsequently give it, and that's why when the Gemara speaks of whether you make a Brecha Mitzvah on the Hafrosha of Tamai, the Gemara could not just say that it is no machshava, rather it had to mechadash a new chiddush that the chiyuv is so weak because of the fact that it's against a roiv likelihood of roiv amoretz ma'asim heim. Reb Simonik Diskin, Zichron Levracha, however, in the Masa Melech writes that in his opinion we could offer a very straightforward teretz to this question of Rabbi Shaya Pick, this question of why does the Birchas HaMitzvah on Truma if it's Isnehu b'machshava, and we could add Be'etzim that according to him you really could forever and get around the problem that Rabbi Kivager is bringing up on the tour. Reb Simonik says that he believes that even though the Beis Yosef has a Yesoid, that any activity, any mitzvah activity which is Isne machshava, which could be done with machshava, you don't make any Birchas HaMitzvahs on, he says it doesn't apply to Truma, because by Truma, even though it's true that you could do it with thoughts, in certain cases you could use it with thought, but the thoughts are very, very powerful because they effectuate a halachic transformation, actual transformation separation in the halachic world between the label of the entity before and the label of the entity after. If the Hainu, before my hafrosha, this thing was tevel, and subsequent to my hafrosha, it got transformed. Now I have an entity which is truma and an entity which is chulin. So that kind of a transformative mitzvah, even if it's isna machshava, we don't just call it a machshava, we call it a so-called maisa because of the fact that it has an actual impact on the halachic world, a transformative impact in which it literally changes and transforms the tevua entity from being tevel into the new label, which is truma and chulin. So he calls that a maisa. Of course, according to that, there's no question on the Torah, there's no question from Dmai, because even by Dmai, a maisa, it's because tevel the rabbanon, and I'm making this transformative act, a transformative process by separating into truma and chulin, and therefore there's a din like a maisa. Additionally, Rav Simonik Diskin says that he thinks he could say a different tale to this kasha. I'll mention this briefly because it is a yesod that needs to be looked into. Rav Simonik says that he believes that the birchas mitzvah on truma is, and the birchas mitzvah on maisa as well, is fundamentally different from other birchas mitzvahs and doesn't go with the same rules because it's a different yesod. And the reason is, Zokter, because it's mavur in the Mishnah, Masechet Maisa Sheni, that Chazal Darshan, the Pasuk says in the beginning of Parashat Kisavoy, when the person makes the vidui maisrois, that he speaks out that I gave everything properly. So it says, Lo'avayat imitzvay secho, v'loy shochochti. So what does it mean, loy shochochti? I didn't forget. The Gemara has a drasha on this, the Mishnah has a drasha on this, and Maisa Sheni, loy shochochti, I didn't forget, meaning, lo shochochti, milavarechacha, umilahazgir shimcha olov. That's the lashon over there, which is understood that to mean by the Gemara and the Rishayim that the person did not forget to make a bracha on the hafrasha of the maisers. So in other words, there's actually a special pasuk that the Gemara over there. There's a pasuk that the Gemara says that the pasuk, the mission of the Gemara tell us that lo shachachti milavarecha lahaskir shimcha olov. Reb Simonik says that he believes that hayoyis that it's mavur that that's a chelak of the trumas of the vidui maisrois. The person, if a person botched the maisrois and messed up the giving of the maisrois, he can't make the vidui maisrois. He can't speak out of vidui. Over here, what we're saying is that the articulation that I made a bracha b'shas and I gave the maiser is a chalek of the vidui maiser. And that shows us, Zokter Simonik, that what Chazal did, Chazal Turoif, when they were massacring the din of a bracha on the afrosh Hashemah Samaisers, is to be kaveh, is to say that the mitzvah itself of the afrosh Hashemah Samaisers is not beshlemus, is not complete, that the person failed to make a bracha. My other mitzvah, Zokter, the bracha is a din noisif onto the mitzvah. A person has to blow shofar, he has to light near his chanukah, etc., etc. And there's an additional din on top of that, then when you're making the mitzvah, you're supposed to make a birchas a mitzvah on top of that. However, by frosh shumas and maisis zokter, Chazal umekoveh that the seder of shumas themselves include that the person is mafrish and he's meshabeach the ibish to b'shas maisis. Lo shachachti milavrechol haskishimcha olav. That's why if the person would fail to make the frosha, he would have a problem making the vidur maisis. He wouldn't be able to say lo shachachti because the brichas hafrosha of shumas and maisis is a chelak of the doing the mitzvah of shleim. It's a chelak of the mitzvah itself. Zokter, so whereas we could argue that the Beis Yosef is correct, they all normal brachas and mitzvahs, and we always say that the bracha, which is a din noisef on top of the mitzvah, it's additional, separate from the mitzvah, so they only make a bracha in a case of a mitzvah that's done geton dafka with a maisa. The maisa mitzvah is mechayev the bracha. Bittul chametz, for example, which could be done machshava, is not able to mechayev the brachas and mitzvahs. Mashenken over here, Zokter, the bracha is an chelik of the mitzvah itself, and doesn't depend on whether there's a maisa or not a maisa, and whether it has a shem of a maisa. It has nothing to do with that. The mitzvah itself is koilel, that the person does the hafrosh shumas maisa, and he's meshabech the ibis of b'shas maisa. That is the mitzvah itself. So then in such a case, it has a different yisoid, and we don't look at dafka whether it was a maisa, because it doesn't take a maisa mitzvah to mechayev the bracha in that case. That's how the Simonic Diskin says another pshat. I just want to mention Derech Agav, that if you look at the Tosis Yontif in the Mishnah Maisa Sheni over there, in Tosis Yontif Maisa Sheni Perikei Mishnah Yalof, it's actually not mashma this way. The Tosis Yontif is mashma over there that it's mamish the same as a mitzvah like anything else. He says, "Ah, the Maisa is a drasha for it." Like Shachachti, he says that's an asmachta bialma zok there, and it doesn't really tell us that there's any kind of a special drasha or any kind of special concept of a birchas trumas and maisis. And remember, the Loshon Tosis Yontif passes his mashma that he understood that there's nothing unique about the bracha of trumas and maisis. That's how he's learning. But Kavanah Simonic Diskin is learning this chiddush understanding, and he's saying it has a different yisoid, the bracha on the first shumah. With that, he's being mechadish this kasha, that the answer is kasha of the revolf eger, the Rishaya pick, by saying that there's something unique about this brachas atshumah, which is doesn't go with the regular guidelines that normally take a maisa mitzvah to mechayev a brachas mitzvah. The Gemara in the next sugya discusses the halacha by being mafresh truma, that the din is that when the person has a choice between mafresh te'enim, which is the fresh figs, or mafresh groigra, it's the dry figs. So the halacha is that you're supposed to be toirim in hayofois, so you're supposed to take the best stuff, which in this case is the fresh figs. However, if there's no kohen around and it has to last for a while, so then you toirim min hamaskayim, which in this case is the groigra, will be the dried out figs, which are going to last for a long time. Normally, if I don't have that issue, that there's ein shom kohen, then I'm termed dafka from the high quality, which is the te'enim, the fresh figs. Rashi happens to learn this sugya by trumas meiser. However, the tzidun of betzes from the term the tais chitzoni is over here esa on Rashi. He says he brings kashus on Rashi from the sugya itself, and he says the pashtus, which certainly looks that way, is that the sugya is talking about regular truma, and the din is to be termed from the yofois, from the best, the yofois in this case the fresh figs, unless the kohen is not around, they have to last for a while, in which case you termed min hameskayim, that which will last, which is the greatest. The Gemara at the very end of the sugya alludes to the fact that there's really trei tanoim on this issue. There's really two tanoim on this. And Tosfos over here points out, he brings down, there's actually a Mishnah Masechta Trumas that brings down a machlekes on this thing. That there are bonon, the whole, like the Gemara says over here, that when there's no coin around, you tell your minimus kayim for that which will last. However, Rabbi Yehuda argues on this in the Mishnah Trumas, and he holds, lo'oilam tayim and hayofa, you always mechuyev to be tayim from the best quality, from the best stuff. You always have to tayim fresh figs, even if it's going to mean there's no coin around, and likely the figs are going to spoil by the time it gets around to being given to the coin. Afal pikein, you always tayim and hayofa's. And this is brought by Shembebel Zachon Vracha, the Shiva in Brisk, that he asks, what is the aside of the machlaikis between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda? What's the sheresh of the Shilas? He says, we know, and Chazal Darshim from the Pasuk Mikol Chelboy, and the word Chelboy means the best, the fattest, the best quality, he Darshim Mikol Chelboy, the person has to give Yofois. Well, if the person has to give Yofois based on Exeir Sakasim Mikol Chelboy, why is it that according to the Chachamim, there's ever a din to give Menem Eskayim? Granted, there's no coin around, granted, it may not be given to the coin, but what permits you to get around Exeris HaKosev, they have to give me Kol Chel, but you have to give the best quality stuff. How are you going to get around Exeris HaKosev? So it's not the Be'etzim, we could suggest that maybe the pshat is that the Meskayim, that which is going to last, is itself called the Kol Chel, but it has the Shem Mikol Chel, boy, in the case there's no coin around, because maybe we measure the Shem Chel, boy, based upon what it's going to look like when it gets to the coin's hands. After all, the objective is to eventually get it to the coin's hands, and therefore what quality will look like when it gets to the Kohen's hands. If I give Groigris, at least it will be quality Groigris. It will be a low quality, but it will be Groigris when it gets to the Kohen's hands. If I'm mafresh te'enim, however, it end up with nothing. It's going to be spoiled by the time it gets to the Kohen's hands. So therefore, maybe the Shem Chelboy is going to be chal on the Groigris. It's the best quality, so to speak, in this context, because of the fact that when it gets to the Kohen's hand, it's going to be the best stuff that it could be at that time when it gets to the Kohen's hand, since te'enim, fresh te'enim, will spoil by then. However, he slugs this up from the Lasha in Harambam, which Bemis is based on the beginning of the Sugya here, right over here, with Mefur in the Sugya and in the Rambam, that if it's a place, a Mokom, where it's Rogel to make from Te'inim into Groigroi, so it's Rogel to process all the Te'inim into Groigroi and make the fresh figs into dry figs, so there, even if there's Ein Shom Kohen, even if there's no Kohen, the Halacha is that I'm supposed to separate the Mafrish, the Te'inim, the fresh figs, and then convert them into dry figs and give it to the Kohen as dry figs. Zonktas them, the barrel, is if you really see from over here that there's a special shem of Yofoi, it's a special shem of Chelboy, that you look at the Shas Hafrosho to determine what's called Chelboy. Because otherwise, I'm looking at the Shas and seeing the Kohen, why is there a din to separate Dafka the fresh figs and then convert them into Groigrois? Why not separate Groigrois? It's all the same anyhow in terms of when it gets to the Kohen's hands, no matter what. When it gets to the Kohen's, it's going to look like Groigrois by the time it gets to his hands. So why is there a din to separate Dafka to Einim and then convert it into Groigrois? It must be, Zokter, that even the Fiho Emes, even according to the Chachamim, the din is that we measure the Shem Chelboy based upon what it looks like B'Shas HaFrosha. And therefore, if a person has the ability to separate Te'enim, which is the Chelboy at the time of the HaFrosha, and then convert it to Groiger, so we'll ask the Mechuyev Dafka to do that. If that's true, that the Chelboy is determined B'Shas HaFrosha, then why is it that the person could be Toireim, Minim Eskayim, in a case where the Kohen will otherwise lose out, or the Kohen won't get it because it's Ein Shom Kohen? You have to fill the Pasuk of Kol Chelboy. It's a Zoktav them, them, the Ribeiro, that you have to learn pshat, that Chazal Kimluhu, based upon Svara, that there's a ptur from the Chiyuv of Kol Chelboy in a case where giving the Chelboy, Mafresh the Chelboy, will end up with zero going to the Kohen. The Svara is Nesenes, that the whole Tafkid of the Afrosh is to eventually get it to the hands of the Kohen. So you put it from the Chelboy din in a case where doing the Chelboy din, fulfilling the Chelboy din, is going to end up with nothing in the hands of the Kohen. It's a ptur in the din of Chelboy, but Lefio MS Avad is Zokter, like he's Mechiach, that the Shem Chelboy is only Chal Dafke B'Shas Afrosh. It's determined by what looks like B'Shas Afrosh, and if I have Te'enim and Gregor B'Shas Afrosh, the Chel will be Dafke the Te'enim, regardless of the question of what eventually will or will not end up in the Kohen's hands. The Gvuras Yitzchok Masech the Trumas, however, brings in a Befeir Shakiria Sefer that actually says otherwise. The Kiria Sefer in the Trumas says that if there is a Kohen around, so when you're separating Yibs Torim from the fresh, high quality Te'enim, because it says Chem Chelboy, and the fresh, high quality ones are Hatoy V'Hayofe. Those are the Yofe, and those are the Fumad of Chelboy. Masha Inkein, Zot the Kiria Sefer, if there's no Kohen around, Mokon She'en Kohen, then you Torim him in the Skyim, Zot there, the Ho Havi Chelev Liddi Day. He said, Mamash Befeirish, that the Chelboy in a circumstance like that one is going to be the Meskayim, even if it's a lower quality now, but the fact she'll eventually get it to the Kohen makes it that's called Chelboy Liddi Day. For him, that's the Chelboy, because it ends up in his hands as a Chelboy, and therefore, the Ruth Yitzchak says, you see, Mamash Befeirish in the Kiria Sefer is actually two Chelboys. There's a Chelboy of Yofe, which is the high quality figs, and in a case where it's not going to last if you separate the high quality figs because ancient Kohen, then the Chelboy is the Meskayim. What are you going to do with the various kashis that we saw at Berelas? So the bottom line, the Gvuras Yitzchak has mafampel on this, and he wants to learn that there's actually two Shem Chelboys, which are both true. There's a Chelboy B'Shas Afrosha, which is the high quality Yofois fresh figs. There's also a Chelboy B'Shas Nesim L'Kayin, the highest quality B'Shas Nesim L'Kayin, which is going to be determined, obviously, by what we could expect the Kohen will get when he shows up in a couple of months, in a few months, by the time the Kohen gets around to coming over here, what he'll be left with. If the Groigrois, being Mafresh Groigrois, are going to leave him with Groigrois, as opposed to being Mafresh Tain, which leaves him with nothing, then the Chelboy B'Shas Nesimna is going to be the Groigrois. So he says that the correct understanding of Kira Sefer is actually two different Chelboys, and I have to always make a determination, a decision, which Chelboy to go with. So I go with Chelboy B'Shas Afrosha, which is the highest quality fresh figs at the time of them being Mafresh, or do I go with Chelboy B'Shas Nesimna, which is the high quality, the best quality you can get, B'Shas, when you end up giving them to the Kohen. So Zokter, if in a case where the Kohen will end up with zero, if I don't go with Chelboy B'Shas Nesimna, that itself determines that I should be Machria, that Chelboy is determined by Shas Nesimna, and therefore I give the Groigrois, like the Kriya Sefer is saying, because that's called Chelboy of the Shas Nesimna of the Kohen. However, in a case of the Kohen will end up something in any of them, so there we would say that there's a special thing to go with Chelboy B'Shas Hafrosha, and because there is a Shem of Chelboy which is determined at the moment of being Mafresh, and that's like we're saying, that if the Kohen will end up with something in any event, you should Mafresh it to Einim, even if it means, like we said, that you convert from the Einim into the Groigrois, and you give the Kohen Groigrois, Afal Pi Kein, there is this Chem Chelboy of Shas Hafrosha, which means you can determine what's called the high quality. One of the ways to determine, to look at what's the high quality at the time of being Mafresh, the Truma. The Mishnah says that all malachos are nilosh of the poishim, that you need them in lukewarm water, like we discussed the other day. That we discussed this as a din of shimur, that you have to watch over them, that they shouldn't become chomet. The Mishnah is, in achritzu shireha, if the shirayim of the mincha became chomet, then ovi b'loisa say, yovi b'loisa say. The Gemara explains on this, there's actually tzvei dinim, two halachos, so to speak. One of them is in the original processing, in the original making of the mincha meikara before the kmitza, which you're not allowed to make in an oifen that leads it to truma, it leads to chomets. If you do, if in a way if it leads it to chomets, then of course the problem with chomets, not just with the shirayim, the left of the mincha, but the chomets itself is going to be chomets. That's certainly osir. But the Gemara makes a drasha that even in a case in which the person they did not make the mincha into chomets, it wasn't chomets b'shas the kmitza, and the kmitza was fine. It wasn't chomets, and you makav on the mezbech. But afal pi kein, when the kohen is preparing the remainder of the shirayim of the mincha to eat it for himself, he's not allowed to prepare it in a that we're making the chometz, and that's a special drosh that Gemara learns out from Leisayof chometz chelkom. It's really a two phrase in the pasuk. Leisayof chometz, that's A. And, you know, mincha can't be baked as chometz, and B, chelkom nasati oisam eishoy, that I made this mincha to be a chelak of the kohen. However, the Gemara darshan by running it together, Leisayof chometz chelkom, that the chelak hakohen also can't be chometz, and therefore, when the kohen preparing his chelak, his shirayim, for the purpose of eating, he can't make that into chometz, and that is likewise a Leisayof. And that's a second of the Mishnah. Like I have in the pasuk.
The Kerenir writes over here, there's an interesting diuk zokta in Lashon HaMishnah, which switches from Lashon Rabin plural to Lashon Yochid singular. First the Mishnah says Misham Run, which is plural, different minchos, Shaloyach Mitu. You gotta be careful about all the minchos, not to appear in a way that makes a chometz. Then it says switches to a singular, Lashon Yochid, the Mechmitu Shioreha over Beloys Hasei. That if you machmet the Itzshirayim, the Shioreha, Lashon Yochid, then you're over in a Lois Hasei. Zokta of them, the Kerenir that he believes is actually very, very Meduik. The language is extremely precise. Why? So because the truth is, everybody knows that there's multiple types of korban minchas. You have minchas machvas, you have minchas becheches, you have mafritanu, you know, you have ves, you have fried, you have baked. There's different ways of minchas. There's minchas soilus, which is brought in the oifen of flour, which is unbaked at the time when it's brought. All different types of minchas. And whatever kind of mincha it is, the halacha is going to be that you're not allowed to prepare the mincha in a way that it's going to be chometz, and you could do that with all kinds of minchas, right? That the halacha is that you're preparing an oif and you're baking it, whatever you're doing, you can bake in a way that's chometz or frying, all the different ways of preparation of the mincha. You have to be careful not to do it in a way that's chometz, and that's the ratio of the Mishnah, which is Lashon Rabbah, Masham Run Shaloyach Mitzu. Masha'enkin, so that the safer of the Mishnah that you're over on the Isser of the Loisa, say if you prepare the Shirai in a way that makes in the chometz, that's only Mashkachas Lo, the mincha Soilas. It could only works out by Soilas, it does not work out by Bercheshes and Machvas and Mafetana, the other various types of minchas. Why? That because those are other ones already prepared beforehand, they're already baked, they're already fried, whatever you did them in advance. Consequently, since you did in advance before the Kmitza, because those have to be prepared in advance in a way of Marcheshes or Machvas or Mafetana, even before you Koimitz, even before you make the Kmitza, so by the time the Koyin gets the Chelak HaShirayim, there's nothing you can do subsequent to that which is going to make it into a Chometz. It's already fully prepared, it's already fully baked, it was baked in Oifen of Matzah. So what are you going to do now that's going to make it into Chometz? So therefore, it's actually not mashkachas lo to be over on the iser of preparing the shirayim in the way of chometz, except by the case of soilus, which over there it's actually unbaked and unprepared by the time it gets to the kohen. So he's baking and preparing it himself when he gets it for the oifen of eating the shirayim, and over there that's where there's a lois that's very special did on the kohen, the preparing the shirayim, and that he can't prepare an oifen that's machametz. That's why it switches to lashon yochid at the end of the mishnah, because it only talks about one kind of mincha, which is a mincha soilus. All the other kinds of minchas that are discussed earlier in the mishnah, the machesh, Mafitana, etc., those don't have the whole issue of the claim preparing it as a shirayim, as a choifen of chometz, because they're already fully prepared and baked in advance before the kmitza, and the claim has nothing left to do to it subsequent to that, which could possibly make it into chometz. It's of them zok the klerinoyer that he would like to add to that this is not only meduyik in the lashon of the Mishnah over here in Menachos, but actually the exact same diyuk a person could make in the lashon of the mekrois and the Torah itself. Now we know that if you look at the chumash, there's actually two parashios which speaks of oifen of bringing the mincha, one of a yikra, which speaks about the different dinim of the mincha, and then you have again in Tzav, the Vezayis Teres HaMincha, which speaks about the prote dinim of preparing the mincha kahalocha. Talk there in the Pasuk in Parshas Vayikra, which Grata mentioned, preparing all different types of minchas over there in Vayikra. So over there it says, kol ha-mincha, asher takrivu l'Hashem, lo yisei yosei chometz. So that goes on all kinds of minchas, and the Taka fits very on the Lashon Pasuk. It brings all the minchas, and it says, kol ha-mincha, asher takrivu l'Hashem, lo yisei yosei chometz, don't prepare it as chometz. And Zalt there, actually, over there, it's very stark meduyik, that the issue over there is, because then the chometz is going to be chometz. Forget the shirayim, the chometz itself, you're preparing it in advance, and the chometz will be chometz, and the Pasuk itself continues over there. Why? Kol ha-mincha she'osel Hashem v'la Hashem lo yisiyos ha-chometz. Why? So the end of the pasuk is yichol soy v'chol zavash lo yisaktiri menu isha l'Hashem. It's talking in other words about the chelak ha-mezbeach, the kmitzah that goes into the mezbeach, and we're worried that kmitzah shouldn't be soyer. Kol soy v'chol zavash lo yisaktiri isha l'Hashem. It shouldn't be fermented. So therefore, you can't prepare the mincha in advance, and even that makes it chometz, because you're worried about what the chometz is going to have, that it will have a fermentation process, and that's negin to get to all menachos. That's why it says kol ha-mincha in the pasuk of Vayikra. The pasuk in Parashas Tzav, over there, Zokter, simple reading of the pasuk is actually mashma. It's talking about a mincha soilus, which is not baked or fried in advance of the kmitza. Like it actually says over there in the Loshna pasuk over there, the komatz misham, misolto misham. It says over there, you come in from the soilus. And it's clearly mashma in the pasuk alone over there in Parashas Tzav, that in Parashas Tzav, the discussion is about a mincha soilus, which is actually unprepared, unbaked, or not fried in advance of the kmitza. And over there, we have the pasuk
pasuk that the Gemara quotes by Yosef Yosef Chometz Chelkom, which Chazal dashed and Yosef Yosef Chometz Chelkom that the Shirayim kind of made into Chometz. So that you see very stark meduyik that we were discussing all the menachos in Parashas by Yikra, and over there the issue of is don't prepare Chometz because the kmita will end up being Chometz. That's a discussion that applies to all menachos b'shove, like the pasuk itself is mashma. Mashinkein in Parashas Sav where we have the drosha that the person can prepare the chelak akoyin and that the Shirayim can prepare as Chometz. To the pasuk itself is mashma. We're discussing a mincha soilus, like it says the Chometz Nisolto. That's like we said that the korban mincha soilus is the only type which is unprepared before the kmita, unprepared when the kohen gets it, and therefore the kohen has to watch out, be vigilant how he prepares it, that he shouldn't prepare in a way that makes it chometz.
You have been listening to a shiur from shasilluminated.org. For other shiurim on any daf and shas, including Maariv Mechaymus on each shiur, please visit shasilluminated.org. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. We can be reached at 203-312-SHAS, or you can email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.